It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Turkey Day getaway.
Try to just have a little bit of fun without getting sick.
That is our top story at noon. Despite the COVID-19 pandemic, roads and airports all across the country are filling up with Thanksgiving traffic.
I get it, but it's Thanksgiving, and people want to be with their families.
50 million Americans expected to travel at least 50 miles from home this Thanksgiving, despite CDC warnings to avoid any travel because of COVID.
I'm completely empathetic. We're all aching to be with our loved ones. We're aching for those hugs. But look at a map of the United States. It's on fire with COVID right now.
Dr. John LaPook says November has become the worst month for the virus, with over 3 million new cases in just the past few weeks. Dr. Jeanette Neshwat is medical director at CityMD.
The best thing we should do is try to comply with the CDC guidelines, and that is do not travel right now. It's just not worth the risk. We were able to take a pause with holiday celebration and Easter. We can do it one more time because, remember, that vaccine is just weeks away.
And a third vaccine candidate has now emerged, AstraZeneca, announcing today its COVID-19 vaccine is 90% effective against the virus.
Potentially reducing transmission, and I think it's got every chance of being a very successful, very effective vaccine that can get us back to normal.
AstraZeneca says its vaccine is cheaper and easier to distribute than Pfizer's or Moderna's vaccines. Health officials expect a vaccine to start rolling out next month, with most of the country getting vaccinated by next May. With coronavirus cases rising in 41 states, a top health official says the nation is now at a dangerous point in this pandemic.
It's not just in big cities, but it's in rural locations, small towns.
Dr. Tom Inglesby at Johns Hopkins University says hospitals are feeling the crunch from COVID-19.
The pressure on hospitals is the highest it's been since the beginning of the pandemic.
Meantime, the COVID lockdowns continue across the U.S. All indoor dining banned starting Wednesday in Los Angeles. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has put his state on notice for even more restrictions. Nevada lowering casino and restaurant occupancy rates to 25%. And in Oregon, Governor Kate Brown telling residents to report those who are violating COVID-19 restrictions.
Look, this is no different than what happens if there's a party down the street and it's keeping everyone awake. What do neighbors do? They call law enforcement because it's too noisy. This is just like that. It's like a violation of a noise ordinance.
But critics say the governor's mandate is only making matters worse. Seven states have more than 30% of their hospitals now facing serious staffing problems in the midst of the pandemic. Well, the presumptive president set to announce his cabinet picks tomorrow. Joe Biden is expected to choose a couple of Obama-era names to serve in his own administration.
They've worked with President-elect Biden in his prior roles as senator and as vice president. That's especially true for the new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, and also the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan.
That is University of Virginia political science professor Larry Sabato. President Trump's legal challenge to the 2020 election continues. Former Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz says the president still has a few constitutional paths to victory.
For example, in Pennsylvania, they have two very strong legal arguments. One, that the courts changed what the legislature did about counting ballots after the end of Election Day. That's a winning issue in the Supreme Court.
Dershowitz says the problem in Pennsylvania is the fact that even if the president wins, it might not be enough to overturn the results. But Mr. Trump might have another case that would.
The other legal theory they have, which is a potentially strong one, is that the computers, either fraudulently or by glitches, changed hundreds of thousands of votes. There are enough votes to make a difference.
But Dershowitz adds the president is running out of time.
So in one case, they don't have the numbers. In another case, they don't seem yet to have the evidence. Maybe they do. I haven't seen it. But the legal theory is there to support them if they have the numbers and they have the evidence.
Michigan, meantime, could certify its election results today, along with Pennsylvania, after a judge in Williamsport tossed out a lawsuit by the Trump campaign over the weekend to try and stop the certification process. The man who got tens of thousands of us to dump cold water on ourselves has passed away.
Thank you to everyone participating in the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Pat Quinn has died from Lou Gehrig's disease at the age of 37. He started the Ice Bucket Challenge 7 years ago. The viral fundraiser has raked in over $250 million. For ALS research. Still to come this Monday, COVID protests in Erie County, New York, President Trump's legal fight in Pennsylvania, and the turkey giveaway in Cortland.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley. Rather blustery in most areas as we head through the afternoon with brisk winds, some clouds, some sun, and some rain and snow showers coming off Lakes Erie and Ontario as we head through the afternoon as well. Full forecast details coming your way in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Ken McKinley, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Monday, November 23rd. New at noon, police say a teenager was shot and killed during an armed robbery last night. Happened in Monroe County, Pennsylvania. Authorities say 15-year-old Aiden Payez from Kunkeltown, PA, was killed when multiple people approached him near Squirrel Wood Court. Another teenager is recovering from a gunshot wound at a nearby hospital. The investigation into that fatal shooting continues this afternoon. Another door has shut in the Trump campaign election challenge. Federal Judge William Brann of Williamsport says Pennsylvania can't certify its election results. He's denied a request for a delay from the president. Here's legal analyst Lori Levinson.
Trump believes his best and last hope is to get to the Supreme Court, where he appointed three of those justices.
Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani says he welcomes the ruling because it will allow an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court much faster. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will receive an Emmy for his COVID-19 press briefings this past year. Celebrity weather woman Janice Dean at Fox News lost both of her in-laws to the virus.
I heard that to get an Emmy Award, you have to send videotape of yourself to the board members. And so to think that the governor was going through some of his TV appearances talking about deaths in New York and submitting those videos to the Emmy folks really makes me physically sick.
Dean blames the governor's decision to move COVID patients into nursing homes back in March for the reason she lost both her mother and her father-in-law.
We are going to miss them this year, and I want the governor to know that, that when he is accepting his award for leadership skills, we are going to be mourning them and missing them this Thanksgiving season.
Over 6,600 people have died from COVID in nursing homes across New York State. That's more than any other state in the country. Unrest in Erie County.
This is private property. Yes. Please. You guys need to leave. Right now.
Dozens of Buffalo area businesses protesting the state's decision to shut them down because of high rates of COVID.
Just as we are getting back into the swing of things, he's shutting us down again.
Robbie DiNaro owns a gym in Orchard Park, New York. He sponsored the weekend protest to push back against the lockdown order.
It's pretty tough to demand a business to just go away.
Cops were called to DiNaro's gym to break up the crowds, but demonstrators forced them out.
Get out! Get out!
Buffalo area businessman Tim Walton.
Nobody wants to put anybody in danger. You know, straightforward. Everyone wants everybody safe. But at the same time, it's been around so long now that people know the risks. People know what they're getting into. So if you are scared, stay home. If you're high risk, stay home.
Walton says if Walmart can stay open, then businesses like his should be allowed to stay open as well. Governor Cuomo says schools are some of the safest places kids can be during the pandemic.
All the leading experts say keep K-8 open. The positivity rate in the schools is lower than the positivity rate in the surrounding community.
The governor is at odds with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who shut down public schools in the Big Apple last week because of a spike in COVID. A local sheriff says state authorities have the power to enforce a lot of COVID rules, but capping the number of folks you can have in your home for Thanksgiving is not one of them.
They can limit hours, they can limit distancing and seats in the restaurant, and they can fine them. But an executive order aimed at an individual in their home, something's wrong with that.
Fulton County, New York Sheriff Richard Giardino says he will not be enforcing Governor Cuomo's 10-person limit on private gatherings this Thanksgiving. Syracuse Orange. Governor Cuomo warns the city of Syracuse might soon move to orange on his color-coded COVID cluster action initiative. That means a shutdown of all high-risk, non-essential businesses. Schools would also move to online only. Parts of nearby Rochester could also move to orange this week. New York Congressman Tom Reed calling out Cuomo for refusing to accept a COVID-19 vaccine from the Trump administration.
That is so reckless. That is so wrong for the governor to declare such an idiotic position. He's going to risk thousands, if not millions, of New Yorkers' lives by playing politics with this vaccine, and it's wrong.
The governor says it's going to take at least 6 months from the time a vaccine is available to when New York State can start easing COVID lockdowns. COVID hospitalizations rising fast in western New York. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz says he's concerned hospitals will not have enough beds to treat all the sick.
In the past, I thought about plans about converting our convention center into a COVID-19 only hospital. We are revisiting those plans if we need them. I'm hopeful we won't, but you got to be prepared for the worst.
Health officials say the number of folks visiting the hospital for COVID is now at an all-time high in western New York. PennDOT warns the pandemic could have an impact on storm fighting efforts come this winter. The health crisis could mean less service on some of those less traveled roads. New York's 10-member independent redistricting commission has been tasked with redrawing the lines for congressional, state assembly, and state senate seats. Jennifer Wilson with the League of Women Voters says the maps the commission creates will be finalized on January 1st of 2022.
So in between that timeline, this basic whole year is going to be them looking at the census counts, working with local community groups and individuals on figuring out what these new maps are going to look like.
6 years ago, New York voters approved the creation of this commission to come up with the political boundary lines that are redrawn every 10 years following the census. A car parade in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania this afternoon will honor first responders. It is an opportunity to show some gratitude for those essential workers on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. That car parade starts at 12:45 this afternoon at the Rock Butler School in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. A Cortland, New York man is helping spread a little holiday cheer by giving away free turkeys. Local businessman Sean Smith hosting a drive-through turkey giveaway over the weekend. When the turkeys ran out, Smith gave away 150 gift cards so folks could head to their local Walmart and buy their own turkey.
You know, when I was growing up, people gave back to me. So I'm in the ability right now to give back to the community that's been giving me so much and my family so much. So it feels really, really good.
Smith says it took just 20 minutes to give away 50 turkeys in Cortland, New York. Let's pause for sports. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in Cleveland, where the Browns needed just one offensive touchdown to beat the Eagles 22-17. Kareem Hunt rushed for that touchdown. Nick Chubb ran for 114 yards. Cleveland improves to 7-3. Winning ugly? No problem, says head coach Kevin Stefanski.
There's no such thing as an ugly win. That was a beautiful win for the guys, and then we just got to get ready right back on it this week.
Carson Wentz threw for 235 yards, two touchdowns, but two interceptions as the Eagles fall to 3-6. And one. Here's Wentz.
We want to fight, scratch, claw, do everything we can to find a way to win these ball games. And that's all. obviously not happening the last couple weeks.
The wins keep coming for the undefeated Steelers, improving to 10-0 as their defense forced four turnovers, beating the Jaguars 27-3. Two of those interceptions by Terrell Edmonds, who can't wait to play the Ravens in just 3 days.
It's a divisional game. It's a rivalry game. We're already excited. We're already prepared. We feel like we just got to go out there and play our game. So I just keep on working throughout this week. Get all the minor injuries intact. Yeah, let's go out and win the game.
While the Steelers are undefeated, the Jets are winless, falling to 0-10 and eliminated from postseason contention after falling to San Diego 34-28. Head coach Adam Gase.
You know, I haven't seen any letdown or anything like that. I think this is a tight group. These guys try to, you know, do everything the right way and just trying to find a way to win a game.
In other action, Derrick Henry dashed 29 yards for the winning score in overtime. Titans beat the Ravens 30-24. The Colts beat the Packers in overtime 34-31. And Hall of Fame running back Floyd Little has entered hospice care, according to a former Syracuse teammate. Little, 78, is a three-time college All-American who went on to a Hall of Fame career with the Denver Broncos from 1967 and 1975. Little had his number 44 retired by both Syracuse and the Broncos, praying for his comfort. Floyd Little, again, 78 years old. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, America on the move, another COVID-19 vaccine, and going homeless all this week in Buffalo.
So a new report from Belgium about how the pandemic was handled contains an elephant-sized irony many people seem to miss. At the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A new report by the Belgium affiliate of Amnesty International, entitled Nursing Home Blind Spots, claims that the human rights of nursing and rest home residents were violated during the initial wave of COVID-19 in Belgium. Of the 11,500 people who died from COVID-19 in Belgium during that first wave, 6,500 were residents of nursing and rest homes. As Amnesty International called it, this is a stupefying figure. The residents of these homes were, according to the report, abandoned by government authorities as the epidemic raged. Out of fear of overwhelming the hospitals, only about half of COVID patients in nursing homes that needed to be hospitalized were. What happened in Belgium is absolutely outrageous. That it happened in Belgium? Well, that shouldn't be all that surprising. Though Belgium wasn't the first country to legalize it, it now is the world's most liberal country when it comes to euthanasia, a practice that was originally sold as a way to ease the pain and suffering of terminally ill older people, quickly expanded. In fact, in less than a year's time, legalized euthanasia was expanded to include children. And then it was extended to those who were chronically ill, but not necessarily terminally ill. And then it was extended to psychological suffering, not just physical suffering. The Psychiatric Times, in fact, calls Belgium the, quote, epicenter of psychiatric euthanasia. And then in 2014, Belgium extended the right to die to a convicted rapist and murderer who preferred to die rather than to serve his sentence. Soon after, other prisoners requested to die. Most were turned down, not out of a newfound respect for human life, but because the country had been criticized for, quote, a failure to properly treat mentally ill prisoners. Then earlier this year, three Belgian doctors were cleared of murder charges after they euthanized a 38-year-old woman with autism. Her family insisted that the doctors had violated the informed consent requirements and failed to properly treat her psychological issues. In fact, for Belgians, euthanasia is quickly becoming just another normal way to die. Scores of social workers and nurses who specialize in palliative care are quitting their professions. In many instances, their jobs have been reduced down to just preparing patients and their families for lethal injections. While this recent history in no way makes abandoning the elderly during a pandemic any less outrageous, it certainly does make it easier to understand. See, once a certain group of people is considered expendable, something Belgium concluded a long time ago, it's then impossible to have conversations about things like medical rationing or resource efficiency or financial prudence, even flat flattening the curve without factoring in what's already been decided, that some lives are just not worth the cost or the risk. Once the society steps onto that slippery of all slopes, something that's already happened in Belgium and the Netherlands, and to a lesser degree for now at least, in Canada and even Oregon, it becomes all but impossible not to reevaluate human dignity or value based on some extrinsic criteria, such as convenience or financial cost. The so-called right to die is sold on promises of personal freedom and autonomy. But once the so-called safeguards, like informed consent or justified away, something that's proven incredibly easy to do, well, then it's just a short, inevitable step from right to die to expected to die. And Christians, of course, should know better. We shouldn't kill our suffering or our elderly for the same reasons we should never abandon them during a pandemic. They're image bearers. Their life has value, infinite value, from conception to natural death. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside.
Good afternoon. Rather blustery this afternoon with brisk winds, and we're beginning to see some precipitation come off Lakes Erie and Ontario. Rain and snow shower activity will occur as we head through the afternoon in these areas. Elsewhere, some sun breaking out, but temperatures not going much of anywhere through the rest of the day today. Still some lake snow showers for a while this evening, and in fact, over the rest of the region, some flurries will move through overnight, but nothing that will add up to very much in any case. For tomorrow, some sun coming out. Temperatures still rather chilly, but a fairly pleasant-looking day. Then more clouds tomorrow night with another round of precipitation initially. Some light snow, but then a change to rain in most areas as temperatures warm up later at night, and a much warmer day on Wednesday with temperatures well up in the 40s, even into the 50s in some spots, despite a lot of clouds and probably some more showers in the afternoon.
All right, Ken McKinley filling in for Kevin Williams at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, November 23rd. Well, COVID or not, Americans are on the move.
There's a lot more people here than I thought would be here.
Despite warnings from the CDC to stay home this Thanksgiving, 3 million people were screened at TSA checkpoints all across the country over the weekend.
Naturally, there's a little bit of nervousness that comes with traveling, but mostly I think I'm fine. Not too worried.
I'm wearing a mask and I'm going to wash my hands as soon as I get through here.
The AAA says 50 million Americans will travel this Thanksgiving. That's down from last year, but the holiday comes as the U.S. sets new daily records for COVID infections.
I'm probably going to get tested again once I get back, so to make sure I'm good.
But experts warn testing could provide a false sense of security because of the virus's 14-day incubation period. Researchers in Britain say their COVID-19 vaccine is showing some promising results. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Those volunteers not on a placebo got either two full doses of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine or a half dose followed by a full dose 2 weeks later. And here's the mystery, says lead researcher Andrew Pollard.
That subgroup appears to have higher protection with the half dose, first of all.
90% protection compared with 62% among those getting two full doses. And no one getting the vaccine needed hospital treatment for COVID, suggesting it also lessens symptoms.
That's Vicky Barker. Reporting from London, Michigan, and Pennsylvania could certify election results as soon as today. Those results would have Joe Biden winning both states. Michigan Republican Congressman Fred Upton.
Here again in Michigan, it's not a razor-thin margin. It's 154,000 votes. You got to let those votes stand.
Joe Biden, meantime, has tapped Tony Blinken to be his Secretary of State. Blinken served in the Obama administration. Biden expected to announce even more cabinet picks tomorrow. Police in Wisconsin say the gunman who shot 8 people at a shopping mall Friday night was a 15-year-old boy. That shooting took place in suburban Milwaukee. In San Jose, California, 2 people stabbed to death at a church last night. The Baptist church also serves as a shelter for the homeless.
Now, we talked with the pastor of the church. He didn't want to talk with us on camera, but he did confirm there was no service going on at the time.
That's reporter Marianne Favreau in San Jose today, a 22-year-old suspect now in custody. Want to have healthy bones? Eat meat.
Vegetarians, vegans, and people who eat fish but no meat at all have a higher risk of bone fractures compared to meat eaters. Researchers in the UK say low intake of calcium and protein can lead to poor bone health.
That's Laura Podesta at the health desk this afternoon. We are coming up on 24 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, it is Thanksgiving week, and we have much to be thankful for. Most of all, we're thankful for you and the fine work you do at TLI. Thanks for being back in the program, sir.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be with you again today, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners.
And there is a great debate still in this country about school and whether or not schools should be open or closed. I wanted to ask you about a comment made by the director of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, last week. He said that school is the safest place kids can be right now. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I absolutely do agree, and I was pleased that he said that, because stats show that the number of students that are really contracting the virus are like 0.13, and teachers 0.24, which is way less than even 1%. And I know that the schools have worked so hard to make their environment a safe place. I mean, if they do have a case, they shut down for a couple of days, make sure everything is clean, then try to open up again. And it's just a slap in the face to the administrators and the teachers for the powers that be to just say, nope, we're closing school down. And then I feel so badly for the parents who are trying to then wrestle with, what do they do with their children when they rely on school as a safe place? And I'm more concerned than anything about the safety of the students, because I just pray every day for their safety when they're not in school, because so many of them are in just a tragic situation in some of their homes and with no care. Yeah. Or parents who are not what they should be in terms of being parents. It's tragic.
One of the parents in New York City, and she was upset with the decision to shut down the schools last week in New York City, said, "We are losing an entire generation of students." And that is a sobering thought to think about. But when you look at the issues that these kids, many of these kids, the only good meal they'll get is in a school.
Right.
The mental health issues, an entire generation of students. Talk about that, if you would, Ralph.
I agree with the person that said that. It's just tragic, what's being foisted on our children. And they're not the cause of the virus. They want to live a normal life. And I think adults are just treating them really poorly. And I hope that we don't regret it. Certainly we're going to regret it in terms of their education, but I hope we don't regret it in the mental health area and so many other arenas as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like there's any end to it soon. We just saw the Buffalo region, not far from where you are, Ralph, go into the orange zone, which means schools are shut down. They've got to do the testing, the COVID testing. Talk about that, because that's another real concern for schools when it comes to testing. So many hurdles to jump through. I understand that it's got to be a different 20% every week. There's parental consent issues to these tests. A whole host of problems when it comes to doing these mandatory 20% of the student population testing for these schools.
Yeah, that is. It's just a tragedy all the way around. You know, in some counties, the county health department has agreed to do the testing. In others, like in Erie County, they're not willing to do it. And so schools are left to hustle whatever resources they can put together to buy the tests. And then, as you said, who should be tested, how many, how often. It's like a game that's being played by our leaders. And I think it's just tragic, again, because I think the teachers and the administrators are trying to do their best to continue education. And these are just major roadblocks that keep getting put up for them, which is really unfortunate.
Let's talk sports. No high school basketball or wrestling or competitive cheerleading in New York until January 4th. A lot of folks weren't surprised by that, Ralph. Do you even think that date, January 4th, is optimistic given the COVID cases that we're seeing?
I think we're going to be a spring without indoor sports at all. Sorry to say that, because I know people look forward to that, and I know The students have certainly enjoyed playing soccer and the outdoor sports, but I don't see the indoor sports happening January 4th, February 4th, or March 4th, yeah. Even, unfortunately.
And that will have to be the last word this week. But if folks have questions about the great work going on at TLI, the Teaching and Learning Institute, Ralph, where can they find you, sir?
They can simply go to yrun.org, yrun.org.
Great show as always. Issues in Education comes your way Mondays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Rather blustery this afternoon with brisk winds, and we're beginning to see some precipitation come off Lakes Erie and Ontario. Rain and snow shower activity will occur as we head through the afternoon in these areas. Elsewhere, some sun breaking out, but temperatures not going much of anywhere through the rest of the day today. Still some lake snow showers for a while this evening, and in fact, over the rest of the region, some flurries will move through overnight, but nothing that will add up to very much in any case. For tomorrow, some sun coming out. Temperatures still rather chilly, but a fairly pleasant-looking day. Then more clouds tomorrow night with another round of precipitation. Initially some light snow, but then a change to rain in most areas as temperatures warm up later at night. And a much warmer day on Wednesday with temperatures well up in the 40s, even into the 50s in some spots, despite a lot of clouds and probably some more showers in the afternoon.
Okay, Ken McKinley, finally a local pastor living homeless all this week on the streets of Buffalo to raise awareness about poverty.
When I first started this 22 years ago, it was mostly men, and now there's a lot of women on the street and families, kids that are eating in soup kitchens.
Eric Johns at the Buffalo Dream Center says his week on the street has been a Thanksgiving tradition since 1998.
It just began to grow. I mean, I thought it would just be 1 year, but then year after year, we just kept doing it, and eventually we added food, bags of groceries, and turkeys. So now we're going to help over 3,000 families in the month of December.
Johns says his week on the street will help raise awareness about his Boxes of Love campaign. This year, the ministry will provide 3,000 wrapped Christmas presents to needy kids all throughout Buffalo. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.